What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Kicks and Picks Podcast. Nick and Scotty with you here. Already got our boy Oaks in the chat. Shout out, Oaks. You will notice Coach Steve is not with us. We want to give a quick shout out. Congratulations to Coach Steve on the birth of his daughter. So shout out, Coach. We'll probably be missing for a little bit as he handles that situation. It takes a little time for his family. So just an open invitation. Anybody wants to hop on with us the next couple of weeks? Appreciate everybody. A lot of participation in the chat, so hop in with that.
Also worth noting, because usually when you have a new child, you go on a bit of a heater with your gambling picks. I think that's usually how it works in this world, right? So
yeah, we'll see.
Keep an eye on Coach Steve's picks as he tweets them out there, or maybe when his first reappearance back on the pod. I think we all have to ride at least his first couple of picks.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Although I will say, I don't think any of us had a very particularly good day today in the Champions League. Let's quickly run through the results just to showcase where everybody's at, what we see going forward here. Yesterday's matchups, Aston Villa, which I think took like the ugliest win of all time, but went on the road to a Club Brugge team that's pretty difficult. Got the W, 3-1 there. I don't know if you want to pause and give thoughts, or you want me to just run through?
No, I mean, I think we were, you know, the betting angle we were taking there is trying to ride Club Brugge's unders, right? They've been doing a pretty healthy job when they have success, keeping the goal tally is low. But Villa had other things in mind. I think they scored in like the first 5 minutes, right? And that basically killed it. But hey, listen, joke's on us, because we should have known that Villa have been basically the Premier League's easy overs club, you know, a la Atalanta for the past 6 months. And when in doubt, we should have just taken the easy overs.
Yeah, 100%. And I do want to shout out Oaks, who you see if you're watching, his comments are up on the screen right now. He ran on, like, you know, for weeks now, Champions League, breaking down every single game. Fortunate to hop on with him a couple weeks back. He was like all over the player props, especially for that match, a lot of these matches. But I know Decipher was a big one, the right back or left back, and we cashed a shot on target for him. He wound up scoring the goal. So if you haven't checked out Oaks's Champions League breakdowns, his live streams, definitely subscribe to his channel. If you're watching on YouTube, you could probably just like click on one of the comments and go over to it. I don't really know how that works. But shout out Villa. Listen, they defense hasn't been good. They haven't been particularly noteworthy on offense. Got the job done. Club Brugge, you know, show a little respect to them. They made it this far, right? And tough away match for Villa. So they have to feel pretty damn good heading back home. I think if we could quickly look at the odds for that one, they are -170 favorite headed back home. Brugge +400. So
yeah, the draw is the only thing that gets you there, because I think Villa will be happy just to like take a 0-0-1-1 type game. Again, easy overs by all means, but they've got a lot to do in the league right now. So with a 3-1 lead, yeah, it's not quite a dead rubber like Arsenal and PSV are, but you know, I certainly think they're gonna, you know, coast a little bit, I'm guessing, in this game.
Definitely. Next up, Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid. 2-1 win for Real at home. Took care of business. One of those games where every goal was an absolute stunner. I think Rodrigo started the thing off right. Outstanding ball from Fede Valverde. Gets to Rodrigo, beats his guy, curler. I don't know, 20, 30 minutes later, Alvarez creates a goal out of absolutely nothing. It just everything you want in this matchup. One of those where, like, you're wondering if it's going to be stale because they see each other so much. Everything you want in Champions League football, back and forth. Gotta like Real heading into that second leg. You know, they are a slight underdog on the money line, as they will be going away on +170 for them,
quote unquote, on the road.
Can't really on the road, but listen, Scotty and I have placed a Real Madrid to win the Champions League future for 3 straight years. We don't stop now. So rooting for them for sure
right now. That's my only problem. It's like usually when we're taking them, they've been sitting at like +800 or maybe +600. But I think the books are onto it. And you know, we'll probably get to it in a little bit, but it seems like with the way that games are, the first legs have gone so far, we might be on the verge of a Liverpool-Real Madrid semifinal coming up here. And so I think that'll be pretty interesting, to say the least, given recent history in the Champions League between these two clubs.
No, no question there.
We'll probably have to have Oaks on for that matchup.
No question. I'm just going to sit in the corner and watch you two duke it out, fight over player props. Arsenal, absolutely smashing PSV. Stunning.
Seven goals for this Arsenal team without a real forward besides, you know, a 20-year-old winger is crazy. I think Calafiori at one point looked like he was almost playing like as a nine. Like he was forward? Coming up to the center. Yeah.
No, that's kind of exactly what he was doing. And I'm trying to like even really understand how it got so out of control because Lewis Skelly had to have the weirdest 20 minutes of game time ever, like assist, looks like he's the man of the match, then gets away with a red card. Like, I don't know about you, like in my mind, 100% a red card for a second yellow, like a very clear second yellow decision that just the referee was like, nah, we're not going to do that to you. You're Arsenal. Don't sweat it.
Yeah.
And then they just ran absolutely wild. I think they had, what, six different goal scorers out
of
seven.
Don't let Arsenal fans hear you hint that referees are giving them favorable decisions because they will find your Twitter and they will mob you.
Listen, man, I put out a tweet. Who gets more favorable decisions, Barcelona or Roma?
Yeah.
That actually finished in a dead heat, even. Well, tied on the poll. The correct actually answer was the secret option three, Arsenal, because they are the recipients of what I feel like is every single good decision that goes their way, like a bad decision that goes their way. Every time I watch
I
them,
want
so.
No part of that. This is all Nick's take. Direct all Twitter disgust towards him.
Yeah, so definitely upsetting to see them throw up seven. I think that's done and dusted. There's really not much more to say there. PSV, good for them that they did make it this far. I think they just had too many injuries to overcome and is what it is.
Yeah.
Interesting one yesterday, Dortmund at home to Lille. Dortmund actually coughed up a lead pretty damn late. We talked about Lille a lot. They've done a great job at making it this far. I think they're not to be underestimated. Both teams to score. Super, super sharp play in this one. I think we were on it. A lot of people I know were on it. But definitely have to like Lille's chances going back home, even though you can never really count out Dortmund in Champions League.
Yeah. Adeyemi with probably the goal of the week so far.
And that's crazy to say, considering there was about 40 of them.
The slow-mo of that goal is like unbelievable.
Like Roberto Carlos-esque outside of the boot type shit.
Yeah. Thiago had a goal for Liverpool against, I think, Brighton in one of the cups 3 years ago. That was very similar to that. And it's just like unbelievable.
100%. So that'll be a pretty tightly contested tie going back to France.
Go ahead and say over on that one. I'm going to just preliminarily don't know what the lines are. Over.
Yeah. I would say that we're all probably a little shocked that this one didn't go over 2.5 or both teams to score and over 2.5. But
yeah,
luckily like, both teams to score was playable.
With Dortmund going on the road, you know, they're not going to want to send this to extra time or anything like that. They're going to be aggressive and that's going to leave them open. I think it's just going to be a very open game. So.
Hell yeah. All right. Today's matchups, pretty damn interesting as well. The score lines aren't nearly as out of control, but I think if you watched any of the games, you'll feel pretty similar that, hey, listen, I'm loving this Champions League season. It's been awesome. Inter 2-0 win over Feyenoord really took the brunt of the pressure in the first half, escaped. Actually, they got a goal really, really late by Thuram. Nice, nice team play. So went into the break 1-0. Got another goal early from Lautaro, missed a penalty, could have actually gone up 3-0 to put that one to bed, but they've now kept a clean sheet in 8 of their 9 Champions League matches, so be really hard-pressed for me to see them blow a 2-0 lead at home to Feyenoord.
Yeah, this one I wanted to take Inter on the money line, but because they were sitting at like minus like 140 or something to that extent, and it just felt very weird to me. Like it felt almost like a trap, because I thought for sure, like I get it, they're on the road and then you know, first opening leg, like they could be conservative with the way that their defense plays. But I don't know. It felt like a very low risk minus 140. And I think I ultimately just got scared off of it. Cause just like I said, it felt too good to be true. Didn't take the cheese and I regret it. That's why we always take these trap lines because now I feel like an idiot for not just taking very easy Inter fully controlled the game 2-0 win would have been a nice way to start the day.
Yeah, and like for 35 minutes, you wouldn't have felt that way, but the remaining 55, no question about it. Bayern Munich taking on Leverkusen. This one, I think, consensus, from my view, is a lot of people got this one wrong, and I don't blame any of them for getting it wrong. Now, granted, you know, 3-0 final looks bad. I think it was 1-0 before a red card for Leverkusen, so game did get out of hand a little bit late, but man, Bayern hadn't beat Leverkusen in I don't know, quite some time, right? I think they've kind of had their number. But they haven't really figured it out in the Champions League. So,
Well, as I said, it helps when you only have to play 10 guys.
That's, yeah. So,
a little secret tip. You know, if you want Bayern, to win a game, play man up.
Yeah. I know Harry Kane got his goal. I don't really have much to say. I didn't see anything in this game other than the highlights. So, tough for me to really make a call.
No, yeah. Harry Kane had a nice game. I think they said he now has 30 goals in the season, which is probably like the quietest 30-goal season I think I've heard of in recent
memory.
I think
like you could put you or I in the front line for Bayern and, you know, we're getting 20. So,
yeah. Olise has been playing really well. Yeah. Musiala is a beast. So he's got plenty of creativity behind him. Back it up.
For sure. So, would like to know what would happen if the game finished at full strength, but 3-0 win for Bayern. Likely too much to overcome. Barca Benfica, tough one for Benfica, man. You know, really played well from what I saw. Go up a man really early. I think Barca got that red card in the 22nd minute. Barca were actually kind of dominating early on. But obviously, you know, you go up a man, you expect Benfica to get something done. They got absolutely nothing out of their forward line. I saw something like 7 or 8 shots blocked. Ton of shots wide. Tech had a really, really good game and goal. Ton of saves.
Yep.
Tough luck, but ultimately you give up a goal at home to a man to a team that's down a man. Tough luck for Benfica.
Yeah, not really one to rescue, right? You're going back away to Barcelona now, chasing a goal. Not great.
Yeah, tough for them.
Opportunity missed, to say the least. That's a good segue for the next game and last game.
For sure, and I think the one we'll have the most to talk about, obviously, with you being a pool fan. PSG, 1-0 loss against Liverpool, a game that PSG absolutely dominated. I mean, I don't really think there's any other way to put it or to sugarcoat it. I want to get my stats right, so give me 1 second here. But just like had the game on, had Scotty's like text coming through. The group chat was pretty fired up. 27 shots, 10 shots on target, 2 XG, 70% possession. This is a game that I think could be the turning point for PSG going forward in the Champions League. I don't necessarily even mean next week. I mean, because I'm not counting out Liverpool, but this is the best I think I've ever seen PSG in the Champions League. And you guys know me. I trash this team regularly, weekly. Yeah. I think this is the most balanced their team has been. I think it's the most dynamic their team has been. They're just fast as shit. And they're the first team that I could say this year really gave Liverpool problems from start to finish.
Yeah. And they're young too, right? Like I was going through that lineup and, you know, outside of Marquinhos, they're all like 26 or younger, right? Like it's crazy how, well, I guess Dembele is probably the other exception, but like this is a team that is really going to be, assuming they keep them all together, which I don't, can't imagine why they wouldn't. It's going to be a team that grows and, you know, for sure creates problems in the Champions League for the next couple of years. Watching them, like Liverpool, I was very nervous about when the draw happened because Liverpool's defense had been shaky. A couple clean sheets later, I had a little bit more faith in them to you know, be a little bit more, I don't know, stable at the back. But man, dude, their speed, their trickiness on the ball, they cooked Robertson inside and out probably 10 different times in that match. Yeah. Dembele was all over it. You know, Kvara was all over him. Trent did well for Trent's defending prowess, but like still, you know, got cooked on by Barkalov like many times. Yeah. And I was pumped when Barkalov came off. I think it was like in the 65th minute.
60th minute early, yeah.
I fist bumped. I was like, thank God, because that dude was just a menace down the left side. So yeah, I mean, PSG played, I think, as well as you possibly could have in a Champions League knockout round. You know, in the first 10 minutes, I checked a live bet to see who was going to score first, because I don't think Liverpool had a touch in their offensive half. And PSG was like minus 110. So I went into that heavy and was absolutely stunned that did not cash. If you told me that Liverpool was going to score for sure in the 87th minute, I still would have taken it at minus 110, because PSG probably could have had 3 or 4 goals. I know the XG was like 2.25, but like genuinely probably should have had 3 or 4 goals in that first half. And, you know, coach was saying that it's usually one of those games where if you can just weather that storm, usually that team can kind of get a counter punch, you know, get a one goal smash and grab. And I didn't believe it, because anytime Liverpool had the ball, They couldn't possess it for more than 15 seconds. PSG's press was very, very good. Wow. The energy just never came down. And I think it just kept Liverpool off their game for most of the game, like for most of the match. Salah had a very, very pedestrian game, you know, by anybody's standards, much less his standards. And weirdly enough, it was like, you know, the subs that came on, it was Nunez, Mr. Inconsistent, coming in, providing a big body up front just to kind of hold possession. And Harvey Elliott, I think weirdly enough, like when you watch the replay of the goal, Harvey Elliott just kind of comes out of nowhere, because once Salah came off, you know, PSG felt like, oh, we don't have to track, you know, the runners down the right flank anymore. Harvey Elliott waddled his way down. No one marked him. Just got wide open the box and just had a perfect finish. Liverpool escaping that with 1-0 win is massive. Under no circumstances is this like done and dusted. Like,
no,
we were just talking before this, you know, PSG is sitting at plus 1600 with the way that they played. I see no reason. And, you know, they scored something like 40 goals in their last 10 matches prior to that game. PSG are easy and more than capable of putting up 3 goals against any team right now. So Liverpool are going to have their hands full. I think the good news is they came away, they had 3 guys, you know, McAllister, Konate, and somebody else were like all 1 yellow card away from a suspension. They managed to navigate that, although Konate maybe could have had
a red. I was going to say, he didn't even get a yellow for that, like, controversial.
Could have had a red. Well, no, went to VAR, can't give a yellow off of VAR. So
interesting.
Escaped with his
thought I was watching there. Arsenal for a second.
Yeah, so Liverpool should be full strength. And, yeah, you know, their domestic fixture list is pretty easy in March. I think they have 1 Premier League match in March. It's Southampton. And then they have the EFL Cup final against a Newcastle team that is hurt and missing players with suspension. So they'll be able to focus on this with all their might in March. And hopefully can hold on to a 1-0 lead. But like I said, PSG sitting there at plus 1600. If they get past Liverpool, they'll probably take Aston Villa. They're going to be due with a showdown against Real Madrid, you know, in a month's time. And at that point, you can cash out if you're Oaks and believe in Real Madrid taking the Champions League.
let's take a quick look at those futures. So Barcelona plus 370 current favorites, which is a little strange for me.
Easy bracket. They're on the right side of the bracket. That was the bracket I wanted. That was the side that I wanted Liverpool to be on.
Gotcha.
Liverpool and Barcelona were basically pulling for the same spot. You know, so in Barcelona's bracket, they'll play the winner of Dortmund and Lille, and then if they make it to the semifinals, it'll be one of probably Bayern or Inter, as opposed to Real Madrid. So
interesting. Okay.
They have the easiest path to the final.
Understood. Okay. And then you have Liverpool and Real Madrid sitting at plus 400, plus 450 respectively. I think if you're objectively looking at results this season and Champions League pedigree, those are two teams that should be favorites. Bayern Munich plus 500. They got to be feeling pretty good about today. Arsenal's plus 600. They're already essentially through to the next round, so that's not actually a terrible bet, even though I don't believe that they're going to win. And then you have the value plays, right? Inter Milan at plus 1,000. I think they were sitting like it's something silly, like plus 2,300 a couple weeks ago. So still plus 1,000. I think at this stage, essentially half qualified for the next round isn't bad. PSG at plus 1600, as you said. I mean, essentially they just have to overturn this leg against Liverpool. That's not easy to do, but if they do that, you have to feel really good about what that ticket, you know, what the number happens to wind up there. Let it go plus 2800. Aston Villa, you could take it plus 2800, who will make it to the next round. So again, I don't know exactly that's the best strategy, but plus 2800 for a team that's essentially qualified.
Yeah, but then
for another round isn't bad.
PSG and Liverpool, though. So sure. you gotta hope that, yeah, that number has to come down quite a bit, and I don't know that it will against those two teams.
And then you have Dortmund plus 6,500, Lille at plus 10,000. Essentially, won't even get into the rest of the teams unless you guys think Benfica could turn around their woes against Barcelona.
Yeah, I guess that's my pick. PSG. I mean, Inter. If you think they can beat Bayern in a two-leg thing, then sure, Inter plus 1,000 is good, because then you know they'll probably take on Barcelona in the semis. I think
those are the two, right? It's Inter or it's PSG if you're looking to squeeze any value left out of the futures here. You know, an Arsenal at plus 600 pretty much qualified isn't a terrible number, and I'll never talk anybody off of Real or Liverpool.
No. Well, yeah, Liverpool at +400. I don't love, just because I feel like Real have that Champions League voodoo magic. So,
and listen,
you see that come get much better from +400 into the semis.
Yep, for sure.
All right,
Let's Premier League. Let's do it. Roll into the Premier League. We got a couple good ones for you this weekend. First one, it's the early game. On Saturday.
First game on Saturday morning.
First, Nottingham Forest at home to Manchester City. Forest at +280. City sitting at -105. The draw at +275. Forest dropped down to third. City, I guess, technically up to fourth. Only a point separates these two guys, but Forest really on a shit run, right? They've dropped points in four out of their last five. They haven't won in their last three. They had like probably the scariest cup tie in the history of cup ties for a Premier League team. I don't even remember who they played, but had to go all the way to penalties after losing most of that match. So not a good run of form for Forest. I think their goal scoring really has kind of dried up a little bit. City with really nothing else to play for.
Yeah.
Do you give Forest a chance?
I do. City have dominated this fixture since Forest have come up in recent history. I think Forest have scored like one goal on them in the four matches since Forest have been promoted. But I don't know. It feels like this is kind of like it's very close to like a do or die game for Forest if they want to try to make this like top four push for the Champions League. Because you're right, they're in a bad patch of form. The table, they're sitting a point above City for fourth, but below them you have Chelsea 2 points below it with 46. Newcastle are sitting there at 44, like still within striking distance. They can't kind of let this dip go on much longer. International break is coming up, so that will help them. But you're at home, you're against a City team that has been kind of kicked around, by and large over the last, 2 months or so, all season long, really, but even over the last 2 months, haven't been doing really great. I think you got to come out and you got to get at least a point. Like a 1 point in this is like a bare minimum. If you lose this game and you're going into international break with four losses and a draw in your last five matches or three losses and a draw in your last four matches, whatever it is, that's kind of like a gut check time. And then you're getting into April where you got to, play some really, really good football to like not blow this, almost dream season for Forest.
Yep.
So I think they're gonna have a lot of motivation. I think they have the ability, their defense is usually pretty reliable. City's attack has been miserable. So I think they can probably keep City to one or fewer. And then, can they get it done up top? Can they convert their chances? Aside from that match against Newcastle, they haven't really been doing it, but at home against City, maybe that's the time they turn it up the heat a little bit. So I like Newcastle draw no bet at +180. I think the draw here is totally reasonable. So taking the little bit of protection there is good. What's the quarter line? I know you love the quarter line.
Yeah, +115.
Not bad.
Double chance at -110, -120.
Yeah, maybe the quarter line. I might take the quarter goal. +115, pretty good.
I tend to agree with you. I think if we're talking about the how do I phrase it? Just the season as a whole. Like you can't count Forest out.
No.
In anything, right? They've been factually a better team. They have more points, and they've been really good at home, right? So I think that's something that shouldn't be overlooked. The question is, can they get out of this rut? Like they haven't been through a rough patch this long at all this season, right? Like they've dropped a game. They've dropped a few games in a row. This seems like, there's almost no end in sight, at least the way I've seen them play. So that's the only thing that concerns me. How much does current form impact the situation of this game? It's like, if they can get out of it, this game makes your entire season. This is all the work that you've put in leading up to March. This solidifies it. This basically will give them the push they need to really try to stay in that top four, top five. And we get to enjoy City's demise a little bit longer. Yeah. So I'm really rooting for it. Am I going to bet on it? You know, I don't know, but I see a lot of value in the double chance. I see value potentially in the draw, even if you wanted to just take that. I mean, it's a pretty low number with, like, anytime City's involved, you expect the draw number to be in like the plus 390s, plus 400s, to see it down at plus 275, you know, something to be said about that. I think
it's because a draw kind of suits both teams, really. Yeah. You know, City will be happy because it kind of lets them hold serve in against one of the last few top teams they have to play in their, you know, quest to make sure they're still in the Champions League again next year. Crazy as it sounds that they're still trying to qualify, but they are. And save for Forest, right? Like, you know, a point against City is always going to be a good result for anybody that's, you know, not named Liverpool or Arsenal at this point. So I think both teams would be happy with a draw. If you're looking at 1-1 like Oaks has put here, I think that's totally realistic. Yeah. For me, though, like I feel like Forest has a little bit more out to prove in this one.
Definitely.
It's been a really hard place to play. Like you said, they haven't lost a game here since October 11th, unbeaten in 8 straight. So that's why, for me, like, quarter goal, draw, no bet for me works. Yep. If you want to take the double chance, by all means, minus 115, that's probably the smarter play. Yep. I'm just out here chasing the plus. That's all.
No, fair enough. should be an interesting one. I mean, it's a great way to kick off the weekend. I know what we're all rooting for. You know, let's hope that it happens. I'm rooting for more City misery, and let's get it.
Let the hate watch continue.
Absolutely. We may not get a chance to do it again because they'll probably spend $400 million in the summer. So
for sure,
keep that in mind. Next up, we have Tottenham at home to Bournemouth. And just to level set where these guys are, Bournemouth, 43 points, only 3 points behind Chelsea for that fifth spot. Mm-hmm. They're certainly fighting for a European place next season. I think they're in actually a similar run of form to Forest. They've dropped 3 out of their last 5. They've lost 2 in a row. Defense has kind of let them down a little bit here. But then mm-hmm. you have Tottenham. 13th place Tottenham. 33 points Tottenham. Level on points with Manchester United, West Ham, and just one above Everton, Tottenham. So, Scotty, what I will ask you here is, why is Tottenham such a big favorite, or excuse me, an underdog, plus 160, Bournemouth favorite on the road, plus 145?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of surprised that they're not heavier underdogs. I get they're at home. But yeah, again, you know, Bournemouth's form, I guess, is probably the biggest concern, you know, coming off of two straight losses. They need to bounce back. It's hard to bounce back on the road, especially against a Spurs team that likes to score. But you know, they didn't look great against City on the weekend, which is weird because normally Spurs are, you know, the bogey club for City when City's running rampant on the league. And go figure, when City's having a down year, Spurs kind of put up a goose egg on them. So not ideal. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I've been kind of a believer in this Bournemouth team all season long. You know, I think their forward play is really underrated in England.
Hoybert, man. Like, if you watched him at Roma, and like, yes, I know his dad was a legend. You have a pedigree of being a player. If you watch mm-hmm. this guy at Roma, you're like, you'd be like, no, this is not a professional footballer.
Yep.
And now this guy's the favorite to score in like many matches that he plays in.
Yeah. And I think like Evan Nielsen was hurt for a while. He seems to be doing better. So like getting him back is, you know, super helpful leading the line. I think he opened the scoring against Wolves last week. Yep. So I don't know. I like the, you know, we know Spurs aren't going to play a whole lot of defense. I like the idea that, you know, Bournemouth are going to get a couple here. You know, can Spurs get back to their offensive, you know, ways, I guess, after putting up a zero spot against City? Maybe, but it just, you know, with the odds where they are, like I said, chasing numbers, but I do like Bournemouth in this one. You can get them, you know, draw no bet around what, minus 130, minus 120. I don't hate it. You know, they should be winning. Spurs are in, what, 14th place for a reason, or 13th, I think they're now up to. And like, you know, trust Iriola. He's a good manager. He's taken this team, you know, he's done really well. I don't think they're going to like drop off the face of the earth in the last month or two of the season. So, yeah, I think Bournemouth can get a result here on the road.
I'm going to throw a crazy number at you. Both teams to score is minus 295.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
Both teams to score, no draw, -120. I'm kind of on that. I kind of dig it.
Okay.
I don't see this one ending level. I just don't.
No.
Something's got to give, and both teams need points for different reasons. I think, like, I ask you this every week privately. I'll ask you now on the air. Like, at what point did Tottenham just kind of, I don't know, does Ange give up? Does Tottenham give up on Ange? Like, what's the strategy here? Like, what? Give me one positive that their fans can take out of this season.
Well, for me, it's like it's all about what the expectations are for the club, right? That's kind of where we're at. And you know, Spurs have been chasing a trophy for a long, long time. And they've had some success, right? You know, under Poch's, you know, regime, they had, you know, a Champions League final, and they're pretty much consistent in the Champions League and never quite got a trophy. They're, you know, unfortunately playing up against strong Liverpool and City sides where it just never clicked for them. But, you know, now they're sitting down in the bottom half of the table. And so are they still this club that is determined to win a trophy, you know, at least one trophy in any given season? Or are they looking more at, like, you know, a Villa type where it's like, hey, we want to just get back into Europe on a consistent basis.
And so like the way they spend, that should be their goal.
Yeah.
Like, so you, I mean, look, you almost need the money.
For sure. And so, you know, I'll give Ange a little bit of a pass for some of the injuries that they've had to deal with. I also think that they really need to kind of like revamp their midfield right now. It hasn't been great for a while. And so, you know, what the board decides to do and gives him, or not the board, what Dan Levy decides to do and give him, you know, access to funds kind of dictates like where they can actually achieve in the next couple seasons. If they're just sitting here being like, hey, listen, like, you know, spend little and try and get us back into Europa and perform some miracles, then yeah, like I think Ange is probably have to move on because that's not really his style of play. Like that conservative type that tries.
Yeah, and that, like, that's what I was kind of going to say. First of all, shout out Mario with the comment here. Tottenham are serial losers. That's a fact.
Yep.
Better, when I say better, more established coaches than him have come and gone and all said the same shit. At least Ange came in. He was a little bit of a breath of fresh air. He says what he feels. He doesn't really give a shit. The fans seem to like him. He was at one point playing progressive football. You take that for what it is, right? How important that is, we saw today. It's not very important. What's important is 3 points. But, you know, there's a lot to like about him, and I don't think he's necessarily on the chopping block, but I have asked that question out loud a couple times this year because, like, it looked like it couldn't get worse.
Yeah, again, I don't know what the expectations are. If the expectations are, and I don't want to call it delusional, but if they're like, yeah, he should be winning a trophy next season, you know, what trophy are you going to win? The Carabao Cup? Are you going to win the FA Cup? Like, that's a tall task with the domestic teams that they have in this league right now.
Second biggest energy drink in Thailand. Don't forget.
Yeah,
Carabao.
Second biggest. But yeah, you know, when he started last season, like you said, free-flowing football, you know, Kulusevski, Son, Madison, lots of creativity, right? Plenty of scoring opportunities. And, you know, Richarlison was, you know, Richarlison wasn't great, but kind of found it the back end on occasion. But now it's just seemed like, you know, Son is obviously up there in age. Kulusevski still having a great season, but Madison has been down a little bit this year. I know he's been hurt in and out of the lineup.
Yeah. Solanke out for the year, right?
Solanke's been out. Yep. They bring in Solanke to try to, you know, lead the line, and he looked good for a couple games and then can't stay healthy. So I don't know. They need something, right? The squad that he has right now is, I don't think you could give it to, you know, they're a bunch of potatoes. Shout out Mario. You know, you can't give them to anybody and expect them to achieve much. Right. So, but Spurs aren't exactly a club known for investing heavily in the transfer window.
Yeah, fair enough.
And they're not really attractive, as we saw in January, where they went through hell and high water just to get Matthias Tell, a 19-year-old from Bayern Munich, to come join the team on loan. You know, they're going to give him plenty of playing time, and he's like, nah, no thanks. I'm good.
Yeah.
So, dire straits a little bit for Spurs.
Yeah, something to keep an eye on for sure. Something we've been kind of asking week in and week out. Last one we got for you from the Premier League this week, Man United at home taking on Arsenal. And man, was I ready to come into this game, not praise United, but say like, hey, I think there's a chance United can get something out of this game. Arsenal have a second leg of the Champions League to look out for. Well, now we know that's not true. Arsenal could do whatever the hell they want in this game. They will probably put their best 11 forward, knowing that they're going to be heavy, heavy rotation the following week. So Arsenal are priced accordingly, -125 away. Man United plus 380, draws plus 240. You're going to need to do an awful lot of work to talk me off of Arsenal money line in this one.
Yeah, I won't talk you off of it. I think United are pretty putrid. Amorim is just ripping players now in the media. Like, he's clearly just trying to get the season over with, right? Like, he really doesn't have...
He might have 23 new players next year, like, the way he's going.
Yeah.
Which dude, is like, sounds like what he wants.
United's got to have the money for it, dude. Like, they're... Like, one of their new players might be Antony. He might be coming back from loan. They may have to figure it out, right?
Hey.
Like, that's what they've got right now. But, you know, Amorim is one of those managers that he has a system. He needs to have players that fit his system. Obviously, he came in, you know, in the middle of the season, so he didn't really have any time to get players in. And, yeah, like, I don't know what, you know, the plan is for the summer. Are they really going to be able to offload enough players to, you know, bring in four or five guys that are all system fits for Amorim's team? But as it stands now, like, yeah, there's not a whole lot going on in United world that is positive. And Arsenal, you know, no one needs a win more than Arsenal outside of maybe Forest, as we mentioned at the beginning of the Premier League part. But, you know, have they found their shooting boots? Are they going to score? You know, they just scored 7 against PSV. Are they going to get a couple goals here? I was coming in, much like you, ready to have a strong take on something. And I really wanted to say, hey, like, under 2 in this is plus 120. You know, the under 2.5 is minus 160, not touchable. But against this Arsenal team that's really failed to score in 3 of their last 4 Premier League matches, and a United team that has 0 good forwards, I would have no problem taking that. Now I'm a little bit, you know, gun shy, because if Calafiori is going to be playing as a number 9, like, who the fuck knows what's going to happen? But yeah. I still feel like
that's kind of the thing with this guy Marino, the guy they got from Sociedad, right? Like, he's not a forward.
No, he's a midfielder.
Playing as a number 9. He's like scoring every game.
So, I
mean, they can legitimately do anything they want. And I think we're going to see a lot of that. A scary thing is to see like Odegaard really start playing well. You know, like, he is exceptionally talented, but he's had a patch where I feel like,
all right,
with Saka out, you want more from him. Mm-hmm. And I feel like he started to do that. So, he's somebody that could be played for like a goal or assist, like pretty much game in and game out at this point.
I have the 2 picks.
Go.
Both teams to score no is minus 125. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Both teams aren't scoring in this. You know, Arsenal still have a good defense. United's attacking, as aforementioned, is terrible. The player prop of the game, Calafiori, anytime shot on target, plus 360. I mean, how are we
It's
not
just
taking
to take
that?
A shot.
I mean, even if he's playing like left back, dude, the dude gets the ball on target with pretty regularity. So I don't mind. I'm going to take that. Fuck it.
You got a line on just him to take a shot?
Any shot? I don't. Oh yeah, hold on. I do. Minus 105.
Yeah, I'm there.
Yeah, do both, honestly.
So that's it. Those are the 3. I like it. And again, Arsenal money line. I think like there's no less than no reason to believe in Manchester United. We've gotten on and we've said it week in and week out. They are coming off of what, 4 points in 2 games. That's really big for them. But I just cannot see them getting anything out of this game. So give me Arsenal minus 125.
Yeah, Arsenal are due for a bounce back if they continue to slide like this. If it gets to the point where City win and City pass Arsenal before we get to April, with how bad City have been and where Arsenal were legitimately trying to talk themselves into being Premier League title contenders, that's tough. That's like a really tough result for Arsenal for this season.
Yeah. Agree. Just quickly, we don't need to get too much into it, but Villa Brentford's actually kind of interesting. Do you think this is a spot to fade Villa knowing that they have the second leg ahead of them?
Yeah, you could talk me into that. I mean, there's going to be a lot of goals. Villa's January signings or transfers have been great for them so far. And, like, kudos to them for actually making moves in a time period where it's tough to, because I think they're actually having, like, the positive impact that they would hope for. As I said, like, they're the easy over team. Take them in any way.
For sure. All right, last one. Talk me out of over 2.5 at plus 120, Everton Wolves.
Man, Beto. Is Beto going to give you hard work or is he going to give you goals?
He's definitely giving us hard work at plus 175. Will he give us a goal? I don't quite know, but I do know
Wolves can give you goals. Cunha's
Wolves have been crushing.
Yeah, Cunha will give you a goal.
Is he out? Like, I don't even see him listed here as a goal scorer.
I don't know. Don't tell me he's out.
That would change my advice.
He was suspended. He had a red card. I remember this now.
Okay. Never mind, guys. Abort.
Yeah, he got a red card in the FA Cup. I forgot about that. An extra time. He scored the equalizer and then got red carded an extra time.
That's right. I thought I was going to give out a really sharp play for you guys, but.
Sorry. Well, there goes the over. Maybe take Everton then, because who's going to score for Wolves? Everton draw no bet plus 100?
Yeah.
Who's scoring for Wolves now?
Don't know. Anything else for you here in the Premier League?
No, I'm staying away from Liverpool right now. I'm sure there's plenty of props you can take in that because they should absolutely smoke Southampton. But no, I'm going to take. Oh, look at this. Salah minus 285 anytime goal scorer. That's fun.
Will Chiesa get a start or some playing time?
No. Chiesa's done. I think Chiesa is now going to be rested until they can offload him in the summer. Before they risk another ACL injury. No, they bought him from Juve.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to Lazio, brother.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Welcome to Lazio.
We need a fucking right winger. I can't watch fucking Isaksson dribble to nowhere anymore. I could watch Chiesa do it, though.
All right. Have him. For the low price of, I don't know, 17 million euros.
No, just take on some of the salary. We'll do a loan.
What? I don't think we're paying him that much.
You're paying him more than Lazio can pay him. That's for sure.
Maybe.
Let's head over to Italy. We do have, there's a lot of whatever games this weekend. We do have some, I guess, interesting mid-table matchups, some somewhat relegation type games. Nothing that I really feel like discussing with you guys, to be honest. I don't think there's any interesting bets. I don't want to give out fucking losers. I don't want to give out bets just to give out a bet. So we will talk about the two best games of the weekend. Napoli at home to Fiorentina. Napoli at minus 185, Fiorentina plus 475. Draw is sitting at plus 280. Napoli have not won a game in five.
No.
They're down second place. The transfer
window has closed, as I mentioned.
Not since the transfer window is closed, as Scotty said.
Antonio Conte and closing of transfer windows, they don't go well together.
Yeah. Listen, one thing we will say, did expect a good performance from them last week against Inter. They absolutely did outplay Inter. So whatever that's worth, we kind of got that right. But definitely be disappointed with the draw. But still mathematically, obviously, right in there. Inter does have, Champions League to still play for. But yeah, this is go time for Napoli. Cannot be dropping points. So very interesting to me to see a team that's a big favorite here, minus 185. But you got Lukaku sitting at almost at plus 200. So that's a little strange to me.
This is the weird part. So I was just going to say I love the over at 2.5 at plus 105. I'm surprised that's plus money. Over has hit against in four straight for these two teams in head-to-head.
Yeah, both teams to score plus 105.
Yeah, so this is giving me weird vibes because I love the over in this. The number is scaring me off it a little bit because I would guess it should have been, minus 115, minus 120, but here we are. And like I said at the top of the show, I'm not going to fall for these don't take the cheese bets anymore because I did that all week this week and I didn't win those picks that I should have won. So I'll take the over 2.5 at plus 105. You can talk me into taking both teams to score as well. Or even if both teams to score and over 2.5 parlay. I love both of those or all three of those equally.
So we got some good comment. This is like, I really wish Steve was here because Steve would have all these stats just ready to chirp after I say something. Looking at Fiorentina's form, they haven't exactly been good either. They don't have a lot of wins lately. They bad results against not great teams. Eduardo making an awesome point. They've been pretty terrible away. But just looking at Napoli's recent form, it's tough for me to not consider Fiorentina plus one at minus 125. I think that buys you a lot of outs. And I don't think Napoli win by two.
No, Napoli stink. You don't have to convince me to buy into that. I'm 100% bought in. I did look it up. Because Eduardo pointed out, Fiorentina has been bad away. This is true, but in five of their last six away matches, both teams to score has hit. And in four of the last six, the over has hit. So I think that's going to, sometimes we talk about how when two bad teams come together, it's an easy over. I think this is two bad teams, although top half of the table teams, just bad forms. easy over. I think that's fair.
I think that's fair. John makes a really, really good point. Moise Kean is still out, I think, with the concussion. Not 100% confirmed if he's out, but I definitely don't see him listed here on the odd sheet. So that's a pretty solid indication. If he's out, tough for Fiorentina. They also have European commitments this week, right? Is Europa League or Conference League is today or tomorrow?
Yep. Thursday. Yeah.
So starting to paint the picture of why the odds are this way, but Fiorentina is not an easy out. That's really kind of all I'm saying. And certainly we're not going to be looking at a Napoli money line or anything like that. So
no, definitely not.
Proceed with caution, but to Scotty's point, I definitely see goals. Napoli need goals. Like, they cannot afford to drop points, period. Going to need to. Their team total is minus 120. Also not bad. A lot of options for you here.
Yeah, on board.
All right, and then the big one of the weekend, Juve hosting Atalanta. Juve plus 130, Atalanta plus 190. The draw, plus 220. We could probably just stop the show right there. Because that's ultimately what's going to happen. Like, quietly, Juve has won like 6-7 games in a row in the league. Now, they did get knocked out of Champions League. They did get knocked out of the Coppa Italia, which sucks for them. But they now have as many wins as they do draws. Mm-hmm. They still only have the one loss on the year. And they're only 3 points behind Atalanta. They're in fourth place. So, like, the ability for us to continue to shit talk Juve, it's kind of dwindling here. So, Atalanta, you've been fucking terrible. You drew four or five games in the past 2 months that you really shouldn't have drawn. This is your last chance. I don't know that they deserve any of our money right now, but if they lose to Juve, they're probably crashing out of top four. I think that's just reality.
On the road. Mr. Lazio fan. Sitting there in fifth place, probably the only other candidate to get into the top four. Bologna sitting there at 47 points, but I won't rule them out entirely. I just don't think it's likely. Do you think Lazio have a better chance of passing Juve or Atalanta in the table from now until the end of the season?
If Atalanta lose this game, I could see Lazio passing them, honestly. I think that will absolutely mentally break Atalanta. And that's insane to say, because I had them like there was no way they were moving out of top three just like a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think they are just a fractured team right now. I don't know if Gasp's shit is wearing off. I don't know. The secondary scoring has really dried up a lot after Retegi. I know Lookman probably wants out or who knows. But it was such a good situation for this team. There didn't seem to be like a lot of egos. They were pretty fluid. They changed up their 11 a lot. Didn't seem to matter. And then they got humbled in the Champions League, and now they just, couldn't figure out where their priorities were. And dude, you cannot go to this Juve and not pick up points. I mean, if they lose this, well, I guess there's a way back for them.
Atalanta, a better away team than they are home team. So yeah. We do know that about them. My only concern for you with Atalanta and being the Lazio fan here, Atalanta can still score goals, right? They put up a poor performance against Venezia, but week before that, they put up five on Empoli. Earlier in the month, they put up five, at Verona. Juve, I don't think I can say the same about them, right? They're going to be sitting here one or maybe two goals most of the game, sometimes shut out, right? And when you're talking about, a final 8-week stretch trying to qualify, the team that can score goals consistently and can put up three on a regular basis is far more dangerous to get those 3 points, and it's a lot harder to pass. Fair. Whereas Juve, they're going to have 1-1 draws. They're going to have 1-0 games where they're sitting back for the last 15 minutes, where you and I both know what happens when you sit back for 15 minutes to try to hold on to a one-goal lead, and they'll drop points. So with Juve sitting, 2 points above them, above Lazio right now, Atalanta come in here, they get a result, draw or what have you, and Lazio win, against who do they have? They have Udinese. Is it Monday or are they playing Sunday afternoon?
Yep.
All of a sudden, they're either level with Juve or potentially ahead of them within 1 week. So I feel like if someone's dropping out of top four right now, I still think it's Juve. But Lazio, man, we know about Serie A. Once you presented with opportunity, a lot of these teams blow it. It took Inter forever to pass Napoli with how often Napoli were dropping points. Inter just couldn't get over the hump until the last week. I feel like Lazio will do the same.
Yeah, listen, I hope so. You're saying a lot of things that I like. You're saying a lot of things I want to believe in. Juve, I think the weird thing that they have going for them right now is they're getting goal contributions from everywhere. Getting a lot of midfield goal contributions. I think the attackers just cohesively, since Colomwani got there, like they've been much, much better. Since Dusan like caught some bench. And it's wild to see like how the Juve community, how the soccer Twitter community has like turned on Dusan, where like he was getting excuses made for him every single which way. It was Allegri's fault. It was the formation. It was this, it was that. And now that they've seen that he could only really score against relegation clubs and he caught some bench when Colomwani came in, everybody's kind of turned on him. So I'm definitely enjoying that. Tough game to call. Like I almost feel like it's going to be an under.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, Juve typically goes under. Atalanta, maybe not in the best form, but again, away games. Let's take a little deep dive on Atalanta away games in recent history, where they're at goal scored. All right. 5 goals, 1, 5, 2, 2, 0, 0. So last 4 or 5 games, they've been scoring on the road. Yeah, last 5 games on the road, they score. Otherwise, that's fair.
Under 2.5 at minus 130. Just seems like the Juve-est of all bets. I think draw at plus 220, like I joked about, but I think it's viable. And if you're going to take a side, the value's on Atalanta. Draw no bet, plus 110. Again, I think they kind of need it more just to restore their psyche. I think Juve has probably exceeded expectations almost as much as Napoli. And it's weird to say that they exceeded expectations considering they spent like $300 million this year. So like weird statement to make, but new coach, new formation, new players, yada, yada, not in Europe, whatever, or in Europe, whatever. I think Atalanta needs it more, like for their sanity.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I'll give you the stat now to support your under. 5 Please. Of their last 6 head-to-head have gone under, so.
There you go. If you're new to the show, my favorite thing is to just throw out vibes and then Scott or Coach Steve like back it up with stats that are just 100% drilling.
I go both ways. I'll try to disprove things with stats too. I tried that with the away, but I feel like the head-to-head is more relevant here.
Yeah, should be a good one. Just want to get to the chats. Are we putting the house on Como? I think we could. Como's been really, really kind of dominating lately.
But they're minus 185, right?
I look at this, right? It was a weird line. Like they're playing Venezia. Venezia is like the worst team on the planet. So
you take Como -1 against Venezia. It's minus 105.
I suppose.
It's not fun.
I think Roma at even money. Of course. Don't run to put it in, but they do have Europe tomorrow. So big game for them. If they can get out of that unscathed, you kind of have to like their chances against Empoli. I think they've been essentially the best team in Italy since like the calendar year. So if you're giving me that team at even money, I think Roma's worth a shout.
Yep.
And I think that's really all I got.
Yeah.
Anything elsewhere for you?
I was going to look at Bundesliga for a second. We can take it. Quick peek. I know this coach is forte, so I don't want to step on his toes too much, but I also feel like we owe it to him and to the people to give at least one Bundesliga pick. Let's see if I can find anything that looks good in here. Ooh. Not a lot of great games in Bundesliga this weekend. You could talk me into, well, I don't know. I want to bet against St. Pauli. I want to take Wolfsburg, but whenever I take Wolfsburg, I lose.
Yeah, so hit or miss. General betting advice and thoughts. I mean, reminder, European football, midweek football is in full swing. Just be careful. Sandwich spot, we got reverse fixtures next week. Teams yet to play yet this week and next week. Be careful. Shop your lines. MLS is back. If anybody's interested in MLS, got some of that going. But that's it. Be on the lookout.
All right, lock in your PSG plus 1600 Champions League future now. That's my
and
last
Inter pick. Plus 1000.
And Inter plus 1000.
Those are the two. Appreciate you guys rocking with us. Thank you for everybody in the chat, especially like, subscribe, share. Shout out to the guys that are here every single week with us. Hopefully you're enjoying making some money. Catch you next week.